Hello and welcome to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. I'm Kelly Taylor. There's a new app that just launched in Los Angeles called Citizen. It aims to help people stay safe by sending nearby crime and emergency alerts to their phones, along with updates and the ability to live stream an event. We chatted with Peter Donald from Citizen about the app and what it does. And I'd say before you listen to this episode, I recommend you download the app on your phone so you can play around with it and see what's in it and how it works. And that way it'll make more sense as we're talking through some of the details of it. Okay, enjoy. Okay, so today is your official launch day in Los Angeles. How do you feel?
I feel great. Yeah, look, we're lucky to be here. We have the opportunity to get the right people, the right information at the right point in time so they can be super thoughtful and informed about their safety and about how they operate in the world. I believe, and our company believes strongly, that if there's a robbery in progress that's happening across the street, that you should know about that. You should know about it right now. You should know about it in 5 minutes or in 20 minutes. You should know about it right now. If there's a fire in your own building, you should know about it right now. If there's an earthquake, there's some other major event going on, you need to know that to be informed about how you operate in the world and how you stay safe. So we're doing that, and we're doing it really well in 3 markets, and we're thrilled to be here in Los Angeles.
So the first market that you launched in, the beta version, was New York City.
Correct.
Correct. And then you went to San Francisco next?
San Francisco, and we opened Baltimore in February.
What year did you launch in New York?
We've been up in New York for 2 years.
How has it been in New York?
It's great. We've got great adoption across the city. We're up in all 5 boroughs. Regularly, when I get on our safety utility, I see between 2,500 and 5,000 people within a mile of me who are actively on our network.
Wow.
Who are getting real-time information, real-time alerts. In my particular neighborhood where I live, there's a major event, even a non-major event, quickly see video on the platform and 60 to 90 seconds. Maybe it's a little bit longer, but it's very fast.
Wow. Meaning whenever something is reported, a user, someone is out there, like on it.
Correct. Or they're just, you know, walking back from the post office. They've left their local restaurant. They're on the way home, whatever that is. Maybe they picked up their dry cleaning. They snap a piece of video on a particular event.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that in New York, if there are any firefighters listening, or if the LA Fire Department's listening, the New York City Fire Department is very much using this to inform how they deploy across the city. And they aren't doing it officially, but they're doing it unofficially. And so there's a lot of firefighters who are monitoring that video. Some senior fire officials are watching that video in real time, making deployment decisions, being super thoughtful about how they operate. And so it's also interesting how it's helping folks who are in public safety be smarter about how they operate in a modern day technology forward city.
I heard the Citizen founder, Andrew Frame, talking about that in a radio interview in Baltimore, I think.
You've done your homework.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I'm impressed.
Thank you, Peter. Just talking about how when a firefighter is going to a potentially burning building, they can see video and maybe see, like, okay, how involved is this fire? And just kind of, like, get a leg up on the situation they're going to.
Correct. And then and there was a fire in the fall in New York City, a 7-alarm fire in Brooklyn, which is the largest neighborhood in New York City for those people who aren't super familiar with it. They were able to deploy aviation and harbor resources to that fire because of live video they're watching on Citizen. So that to me is a very helpful thing about how modern cities work and how first responders operate.
Yeah. Okay, so
that real-time intelligence.
Maybe we should backtrack. So for anyone who doesn't have the app on their phone yet, can you explain just what it is? Like, when you search it in the App Store and you download it, what's going to happen?
Sure. So let me just start at the very beginning. So we are a free app that pushes you real-time notifications that allow you to stay safe. In order to do that, we have to know where you are. So having your real-time location is a must. Well, it's not a must to have the app, but it's a must to actually push you those hyperlocal notifications that are usually major priority incidents that are happening within a quarter mile of you.
And a major priority incident could be, sorry to interrupt you, it could be like a fire, a robbery, like a crime. It could be just some type of
serious vehicle collision. Yeah. Could be a shots fired call. Could be a variety of things. Mm-hmm. There are things also that don't go in the app, right? Suicides, for instance, inside of residents don't go in. We don't believe there's any need to include information like that. So people download the app. They need to opt in to location because, again, can't help you unless we know where you are. That information's not shared with anyone else. We then proactively push information to people based on publicly available information we are gathering. We have a team of analysts back at our headquarters who are actively monitoring this 24/7. Those incidents have to meet our editorial guidelines about what goes in the app, when and why, and then how we talk about it. And that's a constantly iterative process. Those incidents go in, and then our systems, our piece of technology in the back end, pushes notifications to people.
Yeah, so initially from what I've seen, you'll get a report of, you know, something very vague is reported at an address, and maybe that's near you. So then you open the app, and then you might see an update pretty soon after, and it'll be, you know, something along the lines of, like this morning I was looking, and there was a woman with a knife reported at Union Station in downtown LA. And then there'll be various updates after that. And that's coming from your team.
Correct.
Okay. That's the difference. When I initially downloaded this app, like before I did any research, I thought it was just like user generated.
There's no user generated content other than video that is on our platform, but there has to be a centrally sourced incident first.
Gotcha.
Right? So there has to be a fire. There has to be a car accident, right? There has to be some major event.
Gotcha. Yeah, this is really interesting for, so we work at the news and we're around scanners all the time.
Of course. So, only some of them though, right? Not Beverly Hills, not Santa Monica.
Yeah, only some of them. Exactly. And I also follow even Twitter accounts that are just listening to scanners and tweeting, like Beverly Hills scanner, I actually follow.
Same.
But for the general public.
I'll have to get your list after this, by the way.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can. Yeah. I'll send it to you.
We'll talk.
But for the general public, this isn't, unless you're one of those people that has a scanner in your basement or something, you're not like clued into this kind of thing. It's not usually until the news breaks something.
Correct.
That
Correct.
You would even have access to this information.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. So, you know, if you are Messiah, right? A 4-year-old child who was kidnapped in New York, this app helped a user know that this child was kidnapped. Allowed that user to look in our app, to see his photo, to make a phone call to police who arrived and stopped the suspect who was wanted on 2 open warrants, one for child sex abuse, and that suspect was arrested for abduction. Information's really powerful if given to the right people at the right point in time. You know, I don't know what would have happened to Messiah. I'm certainly not interested in finding out if I'm a parent or I'm his friend or someone else in his family. There have been plenty of other missing kid cases in New York, like Eitan Pates, like Libby Kletsky, some of which I worked on when I was at the FBI tangentially. You know, Messiah is a product of a piece of technology that allows people to be informed about what's going on around them and to be active in that and not passive and to pick up the phone and do the right thing that mm-hmm. other people would reasonably expect. If you're Dan Humphrey and you're a Fordham Law student, and you have a fire in your own building at 4:00 in the morning in Washington Heights, and your fire alarm system's not working and the sprinkler system's not working, you deserve to know there's a fire in your own building. And when he woke up his girlfriend and his best friend who was on the couch and they went down the stairs, the firefighters were going up the stairs. He was in our office last week, took out his phone, showed me photos of all the blown out windows on the 2 stories above him in the building. You know, he's lucky to be alive. And, we are laser focused on getting the very right information to the right people at the right point in time. And so that's why I think that's why we're focused on getting this free utility in the hands of as many people here in Los Angeles as possible.
Yeah, the situation that you mentioned about Dan Humphrey is crazy. Just imagine waking up and you're groggy and you just happen to see an alert of something happening at your address.
I know. And look, when I was at the police department, Citizen notified me to a helicopter crash in the East River, you know, near Mayor de Blasio's residence. Notified me a report of an active shooter in Lower Manhattan. If I had been closer to the West Side Highway when the event originally occurred, it would have been my first notification to that incident as well. Mm-hmm. Instead of a tweet from a celebrity who said there was a shooting in Lower Manhattan. So information delivered in the right way to the right people at the right point in time.
Yeah.
It's critically important.
So one element, it seems like, of the Citizen app is like situational awareness. You know, if you're walking down the street and there's a robbery reported around you, like, don't go by there, you know, or at least be aware of it. But then also there's another layer of like accountability, it sounds like, between with the live streaming aspect in the app of like, I was listening to Andrew in the interview that I mentioned before. He was talking about a situation in Baltimore where someone was alerted of something in Baltimore. I don't know what the alert said. It was something along the lines of like a man being arrested or something.
Yep.
So he goes and starts live streaming this event that he was alerted to in the app. And it turns out that a guy was walking to pick up his son from school, maybe, and he was misidentified by the police and handcuffed. They were looking for a murder suspect, I believe. So he was handcuffed, and this person using the Citizen app started live streaming this. And I think maybe after the fact, the guy who was handcuffed was saying, like, suddenly I wasn't alone. Like, it wasn't just me and the police. It was me and the police and all these people who might be watching on the app. And it kind of adds another layer of accountability between...
Transparency. Yep.
Transparency.
Yep,
exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Between the community and the police.
Yep.
Is that, like, I guess in creating Citizen and continuing to grow it, is that sort of, like, one of the main... goals of this is transparency?
I think the first goal is keeping people safe, right? Again, you know, we believe that information in real time is critically important to get you out of harm's way. Video is helpful in that process. I was recently north of here, north of Santa Barbara. There's a major fire. I'm on a Route 1, but there's no one around. It's the middle of the day. I'm on my bike. There's a major fire going on, and I'm on the phone with 911. And we had coverage in that area to be able to push that live video of that inferno mm-hmm. to first responders is helpful, right? It's helpful because they can see what's going on. They can be informed about their deployments. It's helpful on an arrest by the police department. It's helpful if you're a news organization who's looking for signal about if they need to launch a chopper. Or if they need to dispatch a reporter or a team of reporters, depending on how big the event is, it's helpful for a variety of ways. We are really clear too about making sure our users do not go live when it's not safe. We want people to be safe. We want people to do it responsibly. We don't want people running towards danger. We want to keep people away from those significant major events. I also think in other major events, it helps inform other users about the severity of a particular incident, right? It's one thing for us to write it. It's another thing to see it.
So I'd like to touch on your background a bit, and because you have an interesting relationship with the company that you now work for.
So glad you asked.
Yeah. Well, this is like, this is to me is like bearing the lead. Like this is the craziest part of this, I think, is that you used to be with the NYPD. I wrote down... You were the Assistant Commissioner for Communication and Public Information.
Something
right?
like that, yes.
Yeah. So you were just, you know, getting the message out to the people.
Look, it was very much kind of doing this from the other side, which was trying to get the best information to the right people at the right point in time, and had plenty of conversations with my colleagues in the press office about moving faster, about being right, about... trying to provide information in real time.
From the NYPD's perspective.
Correct. Yeah, when I was at the police department. Yeah, we were on social 16 minutes after the Chelsea bombing, roughly the same amount of time after the West Side Highway terror attack. But we would like to be faster if we could, right?
Yeah.
Because if you are my friend, she's probably going to hate me for saying her name, Sarah Hardy, who lives in Lower Manhattan, who's got a one-year-old... and you live on Chambers in the West Side Highway, and that's where she lives, and you're there during the terror attack, and she was there during the West Side Highway terror attack, you have no idea what's going on, right? You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. And so we're trying to get that right information to the right people at the right point in time. So if we can do that, we'll be, I believe, super helpful to the public.
Yeah. So the former version of Citizen wasn't necessarily as embraced, maybe, as Citizen is now. And you were part of maybe, like, getting it banned from the App Store, correct?
I was highly skeptical.
Yeah. Sure. So now my question is, like, what sold you? Like, what changed to where you were like, okay, this is something actually that we need, and we need law enforcement, you know, to embrace it, and
I need everyone to embrace it, not just law enforcement, but
yeah. What was, can you walk me through just sort of like how you went from there to here?
How long do you have? look, it was a long process. I was highly skeptical at first. I obviously there's a different name. Spent a lot of time looking at every incident, looking at every alert, understanding what was going on the platform, what wasn't going on the platform, following along. I had a former colleague of mine who had gone to work there from the news business. My concerns weren't realized, right? You know?
Yeah.
I didn't see people running towards danger and interfering with ongoing first responder operations. Not to say it never happened, but I didn't see it, and I spent a lot of time looking at that.
Yeah.
I saw them, Citizen, regularly beat my internal notifications as a senior police official inside the police department on major events. Police officers who were injured in the line of duty. Major terror attacks. Helicopter crash on a Sunday night in April where four people died. First notification for me is on Citizen. You know, how do we not? How are they beating me with our own information off of 911? Right. So, kept monitoring it, kept learning about it, and they were very much doing similar work that I was doing at the police department. I just didn't have the tools to do it in the way that they did it. So, I kept learning, kept studying it.
Right.
Those concerns weren't realized.
Yeah. So. And it sounds like you were already in your former position thinking of ways to update the public quicker. How can we get better at,
you know, I'm laughing. You know, we did this. I'm going to send this to all my former colleagues. But, you know, we did this process called, we'd do a hot wash on a major event. You know, when was our first notification on a terror attack? Right. How did that go? What was the first report? How was it different than the second report and the third report and the fourth report? How long did it take us to get online? How long did it take us to do a briefing for the press in a major way? How long is to do the other notifications that we were required to, like, our colleagues at the OEM and fire department and the mayor's office, right? We're constantly learning and trying to review what our actions. Citizen was just able to get better information to the right people and often was faster than I was, and I was laser focused on this all the time. And at the end of the day, you know, Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, they're really important tools, right? But they are very loud instruments, right? And so what I mean by that is if there's an attack in Lower Manhattan, you don't really need to know about it right this moment if you're in the Bronx or you're in New Jersey or you're in Los Angeles, but you definitely need to know about it if you're on the block or you're two blocks away or you're five blocks away or you're within that immediate vicinity, and you need to take affirmative actions to get out of harm's way or be more aware of your surroundings or take your headphones out or whatever those steps might be to be a more informed citizen. So we're able to target those specific people in those specific locations with that specific information, which to me is much more powerful than taking a much broader approach on social. Again, those are really important tools. When there's a terror attack, the night of the Chelsea bombing that Saturday night at 8:31, those tools are super helpful. But my most important priority is talking to those people right there about what they need to do. Do we need them to shelter in place, right? When we find that second device on 27th Street, the second bomb, you know, how are we talking to those people there, right? So all those things are super interesting to me.
Yeah, and kind of like you're saying, if every day I'm monitoring Twitter and Facebook posts from various law enforcement agencies sure. around Southern California, but that's my job. If I'm just walking down the street, I'm not even like on the Twitter accounts of, you know, obviously if I'm just walking through the world, just minding my own business, it takes like a news alert to learn this stuff.
Totally. And so if you took the LA Fire Department, for instance, and you took their Twitter account, right? And you alerted every one of their tweets, right? There'd be a lot of push notifications you get over your phone, right?
Yeah.
Think about if we can kind of digest what's going on across the city in a thoughtful way, you know, roughly only 10% of the incidents across the city go in the app. And then when we're able to deliver that information to you in a really thoughtful way, in an immediate way, in a way that you need to know because you're nearby it.
Yeah.
That to me is much more powerful than, following a bunch of apps. I mean, I follow the scanner apps in New York, right? Like,
yeah.
There's a lot of information, right? And if you're a regular consumer, that's a lot of stuff to. It's a lot of churn. That's a lot of noise.
Yeah. So much noise.
It's a lot of noise.
So what's like the maximum amount of notifications that you guys send? Is there a cap?
There's no cap. I personally receive roughly a notification a day. Mm. When I was in Baltimore, that was a little bit more because of, I think, what's going on there in that city. Roughly one a day is what I've been receiving.
One question that I have, and thinking about
you're to answer all your questions, you know this.
Well, and thinking about your background with law enforcement, as you launch in new cities, does the LAPD embrace this app? Is it like conversations that are ongoing with various law enforcement agencies in each new city? Like how is that relationship?
Look, we want strong relationships with everyone. We want strong relationships with the public. In every community, in every neighborhood, we want strong relationships with first responder agencies and with mayor's offices and local officials. We are doing briefings to all of those groups. There's no formal relationships with anyone. But again, like we're doing this. We believe it's helpful. It's working in New York. You know, you look at, you know, we talked about Messiah, the 4-year-old kid. We talked about Dan Humphrey. We haven't talked about Mr. Chow, the 103-year-old man who was in a motorized wheelchair who was lost to a user was able to find. We haven't talked about the real-time information we're able to provide in an active shooter situation in January in Jersey City. But we can talk about that. You know, that information, if you're in that building or you're on that block, is critically important. And look, if someone came to me with this idea 2 years ago, because I was there.
You know,
I was at counterpart at the NYPD. I would have been highly skeptical. I hope to prove through doing. I hope that your listeners and your viewers were able to take a look and to let us know what they think.
Yeah.
Because I found this to be super helpful for me and how I operate in a modern day city. And I think they will too.
Yeah. And skeptical in the way that, like, from... in your former position, you were concerned about assuming, like playing devil's advocate, someone like intervening and like possibly making the situation worse.
For sure.
And that's something you say that you guys haven't seen. Like for the most part, people will get the notification and what? Can you see that?
I spent 2 years looking at that. I didn't see it once. Not to say that it never happened, but I never saw it. We regularly see people move away from incidents when we notify people. And if there are people who are intervening, we can ban them from the platform. You know, we've got a strict set of standards about how we operate and our terms of service and that detailed editorial guide about what goes in and why. So we look for that stuff and police it vigorously.
Yeah, actually, isn't there an alert when you sign up? It's like, don't interfere with the police.
Yep.
Don't.
Yep.
There's like a set of warnings, basically.
Yes.
Like,
look, this is not an opportunity to go take matters into your own hands.
Yeah.
We're trying to get people the right information at the right point in time. Look, you just got an alert.
I know.
Well, let's tell everyone what did you get?
Let's open this. Funny. Yeah, the corner of my eye saw it. I was like, what did it say? It says, man stabbed near CVS. I drive past this CVS every day on the way home. In Venice, a suspect fled from Lincoln Boulevard and Machado Drive. Take caution in the area and open for video. So, oh yeah, here we go. All right, so I have the app open. So essentially, when you get a notification, the first notification was 15 minutes ago, and it just said incident reported at Lincoln Boulevard and Machado Drive, which is typically how like the initial alerts are made.
Totally.
And then as you scroll through, there's like various updates to it. Like later, it says a 911 caller reports a man was stabbed near CVS, and then another update. This is unconfirmed. 8 minutes ago, citizen user Sapo Face shows the airship flying in the distance. So it's obviously an ongoing developing situation. But if you're near there, then you can keep going on there and paying attention and then like looking at this person.
Watch the live video that's been
with
verified.
The live video. Yep. Yeah. And verified means
we've watched it in our headquarters. We've reviewed it. We believe it's helpful. And we've signed off on it.
Okay. So wow, I'm so happy that this happened because that was one question that I had was, so there's someone looking at this live streaming video before it's sent out to the app.
Live video is uploaded to the app in real time. We review all of the video at present. And verify video, we believe, is super helpful for other people to see. And then that gets pushed up to the top of the
list. Gotcha. Yep. Is there ever anything that's deemed like too graphic?
Absolutely. You know, we had an incident in the Bronx, last night. It's a victim of a crime who's on the video. We took the video down.
Gotcha. Yeah.
No need for that to be up there.
Right. Okay. Wow. Yeah. See, this is, you know, if you're a nosy, this is like a great app too.
We're here to keep people safe. Not for you to spy on your neighbors. Okay. Don't get any ideas tonight on the drive home.
The other difference between actually this app and like the Nextdoor app or something is that there's live video in this, because in Nextdoor, it's like videos uploaded after the fact, maybe. There's never like a live look at whatever is going on.
So in order to post video to our platform, you need to have your location on. We need to be able to authenticate you're within 1/4 of a mile of the incident. And it has to be done within 20 minutes of the last update of the incident. So there's a lot of things that we do to make sure that that's accurate and true and to the as best we can. And then we review that video at some point. During the day.
If you live in a neighborhood that, let's say you're in the greater LA area, but citizen isn't necessarily in that neighborhood yet, is it coming? Can you do something to get it?
Great question. So if you go into our Medium post from today, you scroll all the way to the bottom, you can figure out where we're covering and where we're not covering. And you can tweet at us, Protect My City, on that hashtag. And we'll be following along in that conversation. But we've got a detailed list on our Protect the World Medium blog detailing where we're up, where we're not up, and allowing people to reach out to their local representatives, their police and fire officials, about helping get citizens to where they are.
What are the next cities that you're hoping to
look? We're
do this in?
Yeah, no, totally. So we're here in L.A. We're thrilled to be in L.A. We've got a lot of work to do to ensure this gets in the hands of as many people as possible. And, you know, we want feedback, like, you know, tweet at us. Let us know what you think.
Yeah.
Find us on Instagram. You know, that feedback's helpful, right? It makes the product better, makes the experience better, allows us to get you the better information at the right point in time. If this goes well, which we believe it will, we'll look to, you know, continue expanding this across the country and other major cities.
Gotcha. Maybe Boston.
Maybe Boston. Do you know anyone from Boston?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Actually.
I was thinking Cincinnati myself, but, you know.
So I don't know him well, but he went to my high school. He plays for the Boston Red Sox. Andrew Benintendi.
Yeah, he's pretty well known in Boston.
It's kind of a big deal
in Boston.
Sports.
Andrew Benintendi in Boston's kind of a big deal, but it's for another podcast.
Yeah, I'm real up on the on my sports info. Okay. So one more thing, actually, that Emily mentioned that I didn't even think about this, but the inner circle thing, I kind of missed the boat on that. I haven't done that.
So
on
there's
my app.
Yeah, so there's two functions. We'll become inner circle friends after this. It'll be great.
Oh, yay.
And we'll make sure that we're safe. So there's two interesting things that happen in the background. One, you can follow particular neighborhoods, which I do. So I follow the neighborhood where I live in New York and the neighborhood where I work.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So there's an interesting neighborhood follow. So, you know, when you're at work, you can follow your home neighborhood and know what's going on and vice versa, right?
Yep.
Or maybe there's a place you usually go to dinner, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You can also follow along with people who are in your inner circle. And so we'll push you hyper-local notifications if there's a priority incident that goes on within 1,000 feet of that person.
Okay. So let's say your kid is visiting a friend in New York City.
Correct.
And you're a parent and you're kind of worried. You can add them in your inner circle and basically get alerts from where they're visiting.
Correct. It's not where they're visiting. It's like things that are basically in their immediate vicinity. So
gotcha.
I got a notification last night about a fire 300 or 400 feet from several of my colleagues who were at the office.
Oh.
Right. So, you know, and just know that there's something going on around them. But it's hyper local and it's very much in their immediate vicinity. It's not like, hey, you know, your child is in Bushwick, Brooklyn, and there's this thing going on in Washington Heights. You know,
yeah.
It doesn't work like that.
Out of curiosity, do you watch Live PD?
I have watched maybe a few minutes, but
I've spent a lot of time watching that show, and I feel like you might be into it. Just because
maybe I'm going to check it out after this.
Your background and what you're doing, and okay, cool. So
one other thing I think for anyone in the news business who's following along, we've got a cool new newsroom product.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. So
I think it's gonna be super helpful to assignment editors, people on the desk, people who are working on pulling together a spot, especially during breaking news, to be able to capture content off of our platform. And then be able to set up custom notifications about priority incidents that are going on in the city.
Gotcha.
So in New York, your Fox affiliate in New York and everyone else is using this literally all the time.
Meaning they can sign up for, I want to know about X, Y, and Z situations. And I can pull user-generated video.
Correct.
And use it.
Correct.
In the newsroom.
You can use it for web. You can use it in broadcast. We could even use it on this podcast.
Yeah. Oh, we could. Cool. Okay. Well, do you feel like you covered all your...
Look,
Do we know the Citizen app?
I think we do. You know, I mean, I think we do. You asked the tough questions. And so, for me, it's, that Messiah story was kind of the thing that pushed me over the edge and made me realize just how important this tool is.
Yeah.
How do you get the right information, the right people, the right point in time to allow them to do the right thing? You know, that's pretty cool. So we believe at scale this will be a huge help in Los Angeles. It'll take us a little time to get there, but this will help in this. And, you know, your viewers, listeners, talking about it and sharing it and listening to this podcast will help too.
Yeah, so. And giving feedback to you guys, it sounds
like. Yeah, for sure. That feedback's super helpful. So.
Cool. All right, well... Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
Very much.
Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
Thank you for listening to the Olympic and Bundy podcast. If you're enjoying the podcast, we'd love for you to rate and review Olympic and Bundy wherever you're listening to this. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, all of those good places. Once again, I'm Kelly Taylor, and thank you very much for listening.